common sense commentary on politics, culture, and current events. If it's on your mind, it's In the News. And now, In the News, with your host, Mike Dakak.
It may seem like a small thing if you're not familiar with the space, but this is actually pretty big news. I may even go so far as to say it's kind of a seminal moment. We may look back on it as years from now as being a defining moment in the fight against censorship and globalism. At the very least, it's going to be an important mile marker. And that's the fact that Joe Rogan has left YouTube and gone to Spotify. Rogan is a podcaster. And when podcasting first came about, he started a podcast, and he's had, over the last 10 or 15 years, one would argue, the most popular podcast in the world. And what makes Rogan's success as a podcaster all the more remarkable is that he has what's known as a long-form podcast. His episodes run routinely 2 and 3 hours, and oftentimes even longer than that. And in a day and age where you can barely keep someone's attention, I mean, I'm watching a video 2 or 3 minutes tops, I'm already debating whether or not I need to switch off. You find yourself watching Rogan and listening to Rogan's shows for an hour, hour and a half before you even realize that much time has gone by, and before you even ask yourself that question and whether you need to switch off. Well, Rogan has left YouTube and he's gone to Spotify. He's doing it for a pretty penny. He got a $100 million contract from Spotify. But the reason this is important for us, the Patriot Movement, is that the reason he went to Spotify, the reason he left YouTube, is because he says YouTube wouldn't allow him to bring guests on that he wanted to bring on. They were censoring him. They were dictating to him what his content on his show was to be about. And specifically, he wanted to bring on doctors that challenged the narrative that we were hearing day and night about COVID-19. Why the silencing? You know, it's getting harder and harder to find innocent reasons why big tech and the mainstream media is behaving the way it's behaving. It's not even about political affiliation anymore. Joe Rogan's not a conservative. He's a liberal, or at the very least, a libertarian in the traditional sense. He's pro-choice. He advocates for drug use. He's not a conservative by any stretch of the word. They don't understand, but with every ban, they get weaker. They think they're getting stronger. They think they're tightening their grip on the information that you and I get. They're not. It's actually the opposite. Now, it's not going to be easy. Nothing's been won yet. We're still going to have a pretty healthy fight to fight here. But this has all been in the game plan for them for years, the globalists. You know, a couple of months ago, there was a white paper written about how they were going to, the proper way, the best way, best practices, I guess you can call them, to go about banning conservatives from online media platforms. And the paper suggested that it'd be done one by one. They found that banning large groups or large sites, popular sites at one time, only caused conservatives to become more resilient, but they framed it in the context of hate groups. And they found that banning groups or popular sites one by one only caused conservatives to become more resilient, to reconstitute. And so this paper recommended finding smaller samples from clusters, as they call them, and banning them and individuals to avoid, and I'm quoting directly here, inflaming the entire hive. So banning people one at a time and banning them randomly, leaving them unsure about what they did or why their crime was so bad, and having them compare their content to other content that is not banned. Oh, you know, this person seemingly did worse than I did, but they're not banned. What gives? That's why the banning seems so random. It's because it isn't random at all. You get banned basically nowadays for not being a person it's believed is going to play ball when push comes to shove. You don't get banned for any one thing or another. Sometimes you do. Sometimes it's for a track record. Sometimes it's for services rendered, as they say. Other tactics the paper suggested is to recruit other users to engage with members of the clusters directly. And it says, and again I'm quoting, adding a third population in a pre-engineered format allows cluster extinction time to be manipulated globally. Plants, in other words, spies, people who behave as though they're double agents. Another tactic is to identify other groups with competing views and pit them one against the other in an effort to sow doubt in the minds of participants. I mean, this is one giant big psyop. And that's why I said a couple of weeks ago, and I'm saying it again now, we have to build our own information sources and networks. That's going to be what's important going forward. You know, a year ago, I was watching Meet the Press. Don't judge. This was before I swallowed the red pill. And the host on there, what's his face, Chuck Todd, was talking very seriously and very earnestly about Sunday morning talk shows. You know, traditionally, Sunday morning talk shows are the place where political news is broken in this country. And Chuck Todd was saying, you know, I was recently asked, whether or not Sunday morning is still relevant. And I thought about it very seriously. And I find that, yes, Sunday morning is still relevant. And he went on to list several reasons, none of which I can remember, which just goes to show you what kind of an impression they made in my mind. But I hate to, and listen, I don't begrudge Chuck Todd for making that argument. Chuck Todd makes a lot of money on that program. If I were in his place, I would probably keep up appearances as well, even if I knew in my heart something else to be true. But not only, I hate to disappoint Mr. Todd, but not only is Sunday morning no longer relevant, Sunday morning is completely irrelevant now. Nobody goes on the Sunday morning talk shows to make news. News is made long before Sunday mornings now. When you want to talk about Meet the Press, Steven Crowder is the new Meet the Press. That's where you go to find out what the zeitgeist is in the country now. Rogan is the new 60 Minutes. Rogan is the premier news magazine in the country now. One day he's got on Tulsi Gabbard. The next day he's got on Bernie Sanders. The day after he's got on Elon Musk. Then the day after that he's got on Kevin Hart. That's where you go to find out what's going on in America now. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I went on a little rant about how the power structures in America that we've been living with for the last 100 or so years are all crumbling right before our eyes. Hollywood, over. The coastal elites, that's over. The power structure now in the countries in the South and the Midwest. Likewise, broadcast television is over. I have my youngest niece, 17 years old. I can't tell you with any certainty when the last time was I saw her just plop down on the couch watching broadcast TV. Everything she watches is basically Netflix on her laptop. And broadcast radio, what's that? This is the future. Regular people sitting around sharing their views and the popularity of those ideas and that content, and more accurately, the credibility of that content, being crowdsourced. It's no longer dictated to us by some nameless, faceless suit at the top floor of some midtown Manhattan skyscraper. It's now dictated to you, and dictated is probably not the right word, but it's probably spread by your neighbor, by your coworker, other people that you trust. That's how you find content that you trust nowadays. So Rogan leaving is a pretty big deal. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. I mean, this was someone who had all the reasons to play ball. I mean, Joe, the irony is, if they would have just been marginally better with Rogan, they probably would have gotten him to stay and play ball. But this is how far they've gone. This is how arrogant they've gone. This is a watershed event. And so Rogan is going, and he said he's going to start his new show on Spotify in the fall, September, I believe he said. And he's going to start his new show in September by telling us all the ways big tech tried to censor him over the last couple of months. So this is going to be something to pay attention to. And one of the things he's going to tell us, apparently, is how this lockdown wasn't necessary and how sources he was talking to were saying that the lockdown wasn't necessary. We probably knew that already, though. I mean, states have opened back up. Cases have not spiked. J.P. Morgan, the financial bank, J.P. Morgan, hardly what you would call an anti-globalist establishment, put out a report recently that found that the lockdowns weren't necessary. They were too inconsistent across countries and within regions of specific countries. They were too inconsistent, and importantly, they were already too late. The virus had already spread all over the world. Community spread within countries had already started. And all they did was likely cause millions of people to lose their livelihood. A Nobel laureate recently said that the UK's lockdown is likely to have cost more lives than it saved. I mean, you get more confident with every passing day, and it's sad, but you get more confident with every passing day that hindsight is going to show that to be the case. I mean, all of these people who have had their lives ruined because of this mandatory lockdown, where do they go to get recourse? Where are they going to turn? And I don't mean for loans that they may or may have to pay back or that they have to fight with Harvard University to get funds, speaking of Harvard University, or a stimulus payment here or there. And by the way, we got word that another round of stimulus is probably going to get done this month. The Democrats passed like a $3 zillion stimulus package the other week. Republicans kind of pumped the brakes on that one, but Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, came out this week and said that another stimulus is in the works, and we're probably going to find out what that looks like within this month. But it's going to take much more than all of this stimulus. Where is the sense of normalcy going to come back from? That's what these entrepreneurs, these people that have had their livelihoods ruined, that's what they really need. Industries have been completely upended. Stores have been killed off. Not to mention what's happening with the medicine. Medicinal censorship is going to be the next wave that we're going to have to deal with here. You may have missed it, but remdesivir, and of course you missed it because you were designed to miss it. Remdesivir, the drug that was pushed by the FDA for a brief moment there, along with Gilead's silences, turns out that doesn't work. In much more in-depth study results, they found that it requires a supplement to work, supplemental therapy, specifically oxygen therapy. They also found that it showed little benefit in many groups of patients. But those in-depth findings were released the Friday before Memorial Day at 6 p.m. Probably the best moment of the year to dump news you don't want anybody to pay any attention to. They said they didn't want to wait until after the Memorial Day weekend to break that news. Okay, well, we're now after the Memorial Day weekend, and remdesivir still doesn't work as well as we were promised it would. So is that going to stop being pushed on us now, or is it going to continue to be pushed? Moderna says they have a promising treatment vaccine using messenger RNA. This is when they inject your body with instructions and instruct your body to manufacture its own vaccine, basically. Well, results are in on that, and it's been revealed that that treatment caused serious injury in 20% of high dosage patients. They required medical intervention. That may explain why a bunch of executives over at Moderna dumped their stock right after their initial findings, which were all touted as positive, were announced. Their executives are dumping its stock faster than members of Congress dumped hotel stocks back in February after their first COVID briefings. President Trump's new vaccine czar, by the way, is a former board member at Moderna. So, of course, all this is taking its toll on the economy. Numbers continue to come out. Memorial Day seems to have gone okay, with few states seeing cases spike after opening back up. But again, the real trick is in the long term. A way of life has been upended. Facebook announced this week, and other companies as well, that they're now offering services to get digital storefronts up and running, presumably from the people who were affected. Well, that just means more control for them. And very little of what's happening now, it feels, is to our benefit. A lot of companies have filed Chapter 11. Hertz, the largest rental company in the country, has filed Chapter 11. They're apparently having a fire sale on their fleet of cars, so if you're in the market for a car, you can head over to their site and probably get a good deal. I'm not affiliated with Hertz in any way. But other major retailers have filed Chapter 11 as well. JCPenney, J.Crew, a few others. Bankruptcy waves, both business and personal, are going to begin to come as default notices have been sent out here. Eviction notices are being sent out. And a lot of this has to do, of course, with getting Trump out of office. You heard our friends on the left say for weeks, I sure hope a recession hits so we can get Trump out of office. That would be the icing on the cake for them. I mean, none of the elites are being hurt by this, folks. The top 25 richest people in the world saw their fortunes increase by $255 billion just in the last 2 months. That, according to our friends over at Forbes magazine. It's the regular folks that are hurting, which is why we have to make sure to get our house in order before November, because we don't know what kind of shenanigans they're going to pull. It's become clear that this is a war game. The only people that are being strengthened by this, all that's going on, are the globalists and the surveillance state. Now, MasterCard has announced that they're joining ID 2020. This is the Gates-funded initiative that wants to digitally ID every man, woman, and child on Earth, because get this, a digital ID is a right. You see how they're framing it now? Methods of payment for everything that you do as you go about your daily life are being connected to whether or not they can track you and digitally ID you. And they're not framing that as driving you towards servitude. No, you're being set free by agreeing to that. I mean, how bizarre is this becoming? Gates, speaking of, has been in the news recently for allegedly trying to bribe members of Nigeria's parliament with $10 million. They want them to pass a law over there that would make it easier for medical records to be shared. It's called the Infectious Diseases Bill. Sound familiar? Here in the States and other countries as well, you have face mask selfies that are being scraped from social media and used to strengthen facial recognition software and AI. You have tracking bracelets are being developed. There are companies that are creating bracelets that kind of like Fitbits that fit around your wrist, and they make noise if you come into too close contact with another human being. They're kind of like human cowbells. It turns out also that they've been working on these immunity passports since 2018. As far back as then, the EU, the European Union, has been conducting studies on the public's resistance to vaccines and how that can be overcome. The goal is to develop a common vaccination card / passport for citizens. And part of that was combating myths and misinformation having to do with vaccines, also making vaccines mandatory for everyone, and also overcoming technical and legal hurdles to accessing and sharing medical records. In other words, all of the solutions being put forth as responses to this COVID-19 quote-unquote emergency were already laid out in black and white well before the pandemic started. They just didn't have the reason they needed to implement these things just yet. So we have to be ready. There's nothing they won't do. This week, the other shoe kind of dropped when it came to online censorship. Twitter has begun placing warning labels, misinformation warning labels, over President Trump's tweets. Trump was apoplectic, and rightfully so. He vowed to get them back. Earlier in the week, Vice President Mike Pence had said that the White House is not going to stand for big tech stifling conservatives. Well, just today, I saw before hitting the record button here, that the White House announced that they plan to empower the FCC to regulate American social media companies when it comes to what content should and shouldn't be removed from their platform. Good for them. These companies might lose liability protections if they're too proactive in removing the content, the White House said. Now, we've got to make sure to get our apparatus in place long before November. The methods to share information, that's what I mean by that. Newspapers and websites, they're the new battlefield now. This is where freedom is going to be won and lost. Remember the globalist playbook. You control events by controlling opinion. And the more useful information they suppress, they win. That's why they're doing all this with the medicine. They don't want you to know what really benefits you and what doesn't. They don't want you to know how your body works. And not all sources, you know, this starts with a lot of sources, folks. And I hate to say it, but it also includes Fox News. Let me tell you something. Fox News is going to be the first source to betray us when push comes to shove. Independent media sources are the best sources. Not all. You have to be discerning. But all corporate sites are all owned and operated by the same people. They're all owned and operated by the same globalists. It's all controlled opposition. You introduce, just like the paper said, a third party to sow doubt in people's minds. It's one of the oldest tools they have in their toolbox. Folks, if you and a bunch of associates want to go in and take over the entire restaurant industry of a town, and all those associates open up steakhouses, and you open up a vegetarian joint, it's not because you love vegetarians. It's because you love power, and it's because you love control, and it's because you love money. Well, this COVID response is the first step to us saying we're no longer going to be controlled. It's now time to make it clear that information monopolies are not going to be established, no matter what sly tricks or gimmicks or psyops they want to employ. Rules about which information gets censored or gets allowed, that power comes from one place and one place only, and that's us. Well, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments on any of the issues we talked about, drop me a line. You can reach me at comments@itnshow.com. That's comments@itnshow.com. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Until next time, take care of yourselves.
If it's on your mind, it's in the news. Subscribe to In the News on both iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. This has been In the News.